Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I started out the week assuming that I'll be thinking a lot about something very life-giving. Motherhood, I think of as being very life-giving. But then my thoughts were arrested with the grim reality of death and the end of life, and I must confess it became a bit of a conflict of thought as I was preparing for the weekend and the week beginning here. But there is one thread that weaves into both services that the Elm Street family is going to be a part of today and tomorrow, and that is that if it wasn't for a mother, there wouldn't be life, and a mother's work translates right into eternity. And what a blessing that God has given to you as mothers to be a part of his kingdom. Any intuitive man that lives in America, if they're honest, I think they would acknowledge that being a mother is a very underrated achievement in our society. In fact, it's almost frowned upon. Not only does a mother carry life into the world, but she carries a burden of sustaining life and nurturing life in ways that have very profound spiritual, emotional, and psychological significance in the heart and life of a child. Significance that not only follows their offspring through life, but right into eternity. It prepares them for, it's a mother's influence that's preparing a child for the future and for making right choices and being who God wants them to be. It's a mother's solace. That's the first thing we seek when we enter the world. We don't know we're even seeking it. Her hands are the primary guide that will comfort us and correct us as we grow. Her admiring gaze is the most sought-after gaze that a child can covet. And a mother in so many ways gives meaning and incentive to life on a broad perspective to live to our full potential. As I think of my mother, that it's one thing she did. I could tell she had confidence in me, and she believed I could, and somehow she had ways of nurturing that. The big caution attribute that is attributed to Mother Bear, when people say don't get between a mother bear and her cubs, I think can carry a little bit into human life as well. Every pastor and every teacher knows that behind every child they are working with, there's an observant mother and a mother that cares very much how the situation is being handled. And it should be that way. A mother is very in tune with her child and may believe that she understands her child better than anyone else on this earth. And in a lot of ways, she does. In a lot of ways, she does. A mother likely spends more time in prayer than any person because she sees every bent. Dad is at work. Dad is busy. Dad has this little window of time, but she saw it all day long. She sees the bent, and she's concerned about where this will take the child, and she's praying about it. She's praying for wisdom, how to relate to this. So much of this is intense, hands-on exposure. And many times the influence of motherhood goes relatively unthanked, even maybe unappreciated. We live in a nation that does mark this as a day that we are to remember our mothers and to applaud them and to recognize them and show them love. In spite of that, many mothers will likely get what they know as a quickly bought flower. They know it was quickly bought, or a quickly written text, or a maybe a phone call for a few minutes. Maybe the flower was remembered just because they were sitting at a red light and they saw flowers and it's like, oh yeah, it's Mother's Day this weekend, I should get one. But the rest of the year, there wasn't a whole lot of thought to what all mother means to them. We all know that a mother who has raised a family, if they would have traded their time for the corporate world, we all know that there would likely be lots of honors. There would likely be some expensive gift, some sort of an etched plaque, financial perks that would ease them into retirement. It's part of the corporate world. It's part of what America values. It's part of what many American women are trying to place themselves into. So today is a reminder to us to give our awards to our mother, the awards that they deserve. But most of all, to give thanks to God for the wonderful way that He created us. I said a lot about our mothers, and our fathers play a crucial role in all this as well, but we want to focus on the mother's hands-on side of it this morning. Their very direct involvement in many ways more than we as fathers can begin to do. And we want to give God thanks for the complementary role that mothers play in the many facets of life. My title this morning is, Am I a Good Mother? Am I a Good Mother? As I pondered a Mother's Day message, I had to believe that that is likely a question that mothers, a universal question that mothers would tend to ask themselves and tend to ponder and quietly wonder as they look at all the ups and downs of home life and their limitations. I know it's a question that I ask myself in the business world. I know that. We see everything that maybe isn't quite what it could be, and we wonder, are we up to par with the way we're managing this? I wonder how we fit in compared to other businesses. It's questions that I face, and I work in an industry that's somewhat sidelined, and doesn't have all the mainstream data that some others would have. But I'd like to think about, what are some benchmarks this morning for motherhood? You know, every now and then I'll hear somebody say something about another sign business. They do X amount of dollars a year, and they have X amount of employees, and that's just a little benchmark, and I can compare where we're at. Okay, or we're below par then, or we're maybe doing a little better than that. And what defines success? What does a mother have to define whether or not they are a good mother? You know, the benchmarks that I could use in by industry standards really don't tell the whole story. There could be a very profitable company, but it's filled with grumbling, complaining employees that are there because of fear. And if I knew the whole story, I would say, oh no, that's not a successful company after all. There are so many ways that define success finally at the end of the day. And I believe mothers are tempted to do things similar to us as employees and business people when we're trying to evaluate ourselves and figure out our performance value. We're tended to see little snapshots here and there and be either encouraged or discouraged by what we see. And some of that can be good, but some of that can be very bad as well. Is a good mother one that has all her children in meticulously sewn dresses, maybe even all matching, and iron shirts at all times, and children walking a tight line. It just seems like they never misbehave. And the house is always spotless. Are those the benchmarks of, now there is a good mother? It's quite obvious. Or may a good mother be the one that you may not find everything in order all the time, but the children are living a life with curiosity, and they're learning confidence, and they're learning getting along with each other and how to resolve some squabbles between themselves, and they're exploring the world, and there's patches on the jeans, and is that a good mother? A mother that's giving their child some freedoms that are costing her at the end of the day. Well, I'd like to read Proverbs 31. What benchmark can we look to at how we are doing as mothers? If your home is average, there will likely be times you feel like you're killing it, and times you feel like, wow, I'm a failure. And deep inside may wonder, how are you doing? How will this all work out? Proverbs 31, I'll be honest, if I was a mother and I heard the preacher saying, we're turning to Proverbs 31, I'd probably groan. I think I would sympathize with the testimony of Lisa Terku. I'll read something here, which she said. She said, I remember when I first read this chapter many years ago as a young wife and mom, I thought the Proverbs 31 woman was overwhelmingly perfect. I found myself not just intimidated by Proverbs 31, but defeated by this wife whose marriage seems full of praises. Even good marriages don't always have such shiny realities. And she admitted that she was having that struggle recently. But what I told you, that the heart behind Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, is one of celebration. But what if I told you that the heart behind Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, is one of celebration, not condemnation? And she went on to say that in Jewish culture, this was read to the assembly of the women as a celebration of womanhood and what they are to be and what all they can do to support their husbands and their families. It was read aloud on the Sabbath as a celebration over a plural audience of women. This was not meant to be condemning. This was meant to applaud the gifts that a woman can bring into home life. This was not necessarily a gift that every woman had to have all aspects of it, but as women, they had many of these gifts in ways that could help their husbands and their families as they practice them. I would agree that I do not think that this passage means that every woman needs to become a real estate transactor and have her own Airbnb, or it says that she considers a field and she buys it. I mean, that can be a part with a husband's input and agreement, but neither do I think this means that every woman needs to have a husband that's sitting at the city gate. If she doesn't, she's a failure. If every husband was at the gate, it would be quite a crowded gate. They'd have to make some adjustments. This is talking about qualities that womanhood can bring to a home, to bless, I believe, and help God in doing what his intended purposes is for particular homes. I think what we're seeing here is, in many ways, women as a whole, each with individual talents, blessing their families in ways that God has arranged their families, all under the banner of honoring God, serving out of love, and smiling at the future, and preparing for it, and nurturing it through your children. It is an encouragement to women to find balance. I believe this passage is encouraging balance between the pretty life that is so focal on the part of a woman. It talks about the linens and the scarlet and those things that women really appreciate and enjoy as being a part of motherhood. But it also presses us beyond that to a selfless serving of others. And many mothers are naturally very, very good at this. My first point that I have before we read this passage is, number one, a good mother lives her calling in the fear of God. And I want to have that as the overarching. Proverbs 31, verse 30 is really a key verse here, I feel. It's a summary verse. And it blessed me as I read this again. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised, a woman that feareth the Lord. It's not the woman with the spotless house who is to be praised. It's not the woman with perfectly behaved children wearing matching outfits. It's the woman who fears the Lord. It's a woman who is taking her calling seriously. This is the children that God has blessed me with, and this is the husband he has led me to, and she's trying for the best of her, trying to figure out how to help both of them to be everything that God wants for them to be. Taking her calling very seriously, knowing that God arranged this, God gifted this. I need to value this, and I need to handle this carefully because it's God's gift to me, it's God's calling to me. Your family is God's calling to you. I remember the feeling when God called me to leadership here at Elm Street. It was quite to pick a book and know that God wants this to be my calling for the rest of my life was quite a thought. It was quite a perspective. And when God gifts you with that child and says, you are now a mother, it's a life calling. It's a life calling, and you have X amount of years to really get that onto good footing, as we say. We're always an influence, but our influence is paramount at a certain window in our child's life. Every child that God directs you to bring into this world is in all their unique needs and gifts is God's calling to you. To raise and nurture for him to the best of his ability and try and figure out what God might have for that child. And I want to say, mothers, don't underestimate the value of your children. Consistently seeing you sit down with a Bible, and maybe they come to you and your eyes are closed, and they know that you're praying. You're having your personal devotional time. I believe it can be worked in and around a busy mother's schedule. But be an influence that is riveting in their mind. Mama likes the Bible. Mama talks to God. Mama is walking her calling in the fear of God. And it was interesting to me as I observed this again, how Proverbs starts out in chapter 1. With the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. I remember that sign in front of my school in childhood. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. You know, if we don't get that right, we won't get a very good foundation for life. And mothers, if you don't get it right in walking in the fear of God and God's gift to you, if you don't get that figured out right, you'll have a bad foundation for being a good mother in the home. Proverbs starts out with that, the fear of the Lord, and then it goes on with telling us men how to live and how to avoid immorality and moral failure and how to be successful. It gives us so much advice. And then we come to chapter 31, where it sums up what a good woman looks like and how that all works. And then it ends again with favor is deceitful, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So I want to praise you mothers this morning because I really believe you are fearing the Lord and what you're doing and you're trying to live your calling to the best of your ability. And the older I'm getting, the more I wonder how a mother does it all. I'm starting now to watch my children raising their families, and I can't figure out how we did it. I get tired almost watching. A mother is so, so busy. Her candle goes not out by night, and it's hard work. It is just plain down hard work. I see some men sometimes after driving to work still look like their eyes are propped open for the first hour, and maybe they didn't even make it in time. Maybe habitually late for some. How many times were they up with the baby for an hour? Probably not much. What about their wife? What about the mother at home? She probably was up a time or two, and she still had the school children ready in time, herself ready in time. She got to school 10 minutes late, likely not. She maybe even had to help find a sock that they couldn't find, or a shoe that was lost, or homework that got misplaced. But it just amazes me. It amazes me what our mothers do. Now let's read Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She ariseth while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Verse 10 starts out with a question: who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find one? Her value is off the charts. It's above rubies. She's a rare breed. Things that are in abundance and on every street corner and easily found are not usually considered the most valuable things. They're plentiful. But it implies here that a good mother may be pretty hard to find. A good mother's house may not always look like a good mother's house. A mother was once told by a visitor that her bird feeder is empty. She said, "I know. I'm trying to keep my children alive. The birds can get their own food right now." She had to set some priorities to be a good mother. Sadly, there are animals that get tended better than some mother's children. They are trading being a good dog mom or a good cat mom with being a good human mom. A good mother may have dishes left sitting in the dishwasher, and it's a scavenger hunt at mealtime because her sick baby came first, and she was being a good mother. Just like a business's value is not determined purely by dollars in the bottom line, so a good mother is not determined by how her house looks at every season and point in time, or the flower bed or the lawn, but how many smiling children are around her and are rising up and saying, "I love you, Mom. there is a relationship. There is a demeanor. There is spirit fruit coming out of mother's life that is endearing to them. Number three, a good mother will not underestimate the power of her influence. We have young mothers today doing lots of things outside their home, and some things inside their home. They're endeavoring to run it alongside of their mothering, and Proverbs 31 talks about women that have the ability to do that. And a mother has a desire to influence, just like we as men have a desire. You know, we want to make a dent in the world. We want to do something. Some mothers take that and try to influence on social media platforms. They follow their children around all day with a cell phone, and they are putting it out there, maybe with the goal of being an Anabaptist witness. And I'm not here to cast judgment on all that. But I am here to say, mothers, the greatest influence you can be is to just raise your family for the Lord now. And let the bigger pictures, let that for later. I say bigger pictures. This is the biggest picture. But let the other ways of helping, let that for times when your role with your children is not as critical, maybe. As a good mom, one of your primary responsibilities is to be a role model for your children. Live your life in such a way that you're not living on the edge, and you're not as prone to snap them off and to push them away because you're so busy trying to do things outside the home. Live in a way that your child looks up to you and learns from your actions. It's essential to exhibit positive characteristics such as patience and kindness and empathy. Your child are looking to you, primarily to you, to learn those things, to be a good example for them to follow. And you will become an influencer naturally as they become adults and as they mimic what you have taught them. It's the most impactful way to be an influencer in the world, I believe, to be an influence in your home, and to give them a fighting chance at seeing God through you, seeing God through your responses in life and how you relate to the challenges that you face. See the gospel lived out in you. Most children will worship the ground their mother stands on for the most part of their childhood, well into young adolescence. Even if you're not the greatest mom, children for a long time will believe you're the greatest mom. You will get a lot of grace, and until they have opportunity to compare with other homes and see how it's done there, they will believe that you're doing it the right way. Sadly, we observe in the first hand here in the city, children that follow their mothers right into drug addiction. They learn a bit late what a drug-free home looks like and feels like and smells like. Their druggy mothers set an example through influence that happiness is bought in the alley or at the dispensary. And they just believe that that is life. I'm glad we serve a God that can help us to rise above our own propensities. As you mothers, as you live in the fear of God, there are things that we are prone to. There are things that it comes hard for us to change. But by God's grace, your calling is to mirror God in how you relate to your family. As you spend a lot of time in front of those little eyes and those little ears, you are a tremendous influencer for God. I just want to emphasize that this morning. The way you answer them, the tone of your voice, the time you take to communicate, how many times they have to hit your leg to get you to look away from your phone and even listening to what they're saying. the way you solve problems, the grudges you hold, the way you deal with failure on their part that is intentional, the way you deal with failure that was unintentional, and how you respond to the many complicated things you have to relate to is setting an example for them of who God is and how God relates to human life. Your influence is huge. One benefit that mothers have, I said as business people, we wonder sometimes how we're doing as we relate to each other. Our fellow employees maybe won't tell us if we're responding wrongly. They'll just sort of keep it to themselves. But children have a way of being pretty honest. If it don't come out verbally how you're doing, it might come out as you just watch them imitate you during their play, how influential you are being on their life. You will likely see and hear yourself coming out as they go about their life. Will you be pleased? Are you pleased with what you see and hear? You will eventually see and hear yourself, at least in part, showing forth not only when they're little, but as they get bigger, as they move into homes of their own, how they handle their children. Will you be happy with your influence? Will you be happy? We all make mistakes. Parenting is a learning process, a difficult learning process, a very rewarding experience nonetheless. But we will make mistakes. And we endeavor, as we live in the fear of God, we endeavor to keep growing in how we, what God teaches us through our children. Our children have a way of helping us grow up. If we didn't yet, they have a way of helping us to get there. There was a gentleman recently at our shop. He was very expressively talking about his time that he had just recently spent at the Lancaster County Chamber of Commerce meeting. Apparently it was some big meeting with the schools in the area. They held it at the movie theater, he said. And he said it was a time of reports on what the schools are doing with all the hard skills for trades, that they're realizing there's a problem, that the younger generation doesn't know how to do things, so they're really amping up and trying to get the hard skills put in front of people, teaching them how to be plumbers and electricians and whatever all it was. And he said it's amazing. It's amazing what all the schools are doing. And then after they gave their presentation, he said they had some business people come up, or they open mic, or however they went about that, to come up and either, let them know if they're doing things good or what should be done better. And he said the amazing thing, he said, those business people, he said, they got up there, and he said, they all said about the same thing. They said, we need soft skills trained. We can train the hard skills. We can train how to push a board through a planer, but we can't train how to relate to that coworker by your side, or how to get out of bed and show up and be there on time. We can't train those things. There's many things we need the soft skills trained. And he said, I could hardly stay in my seat in the middle of that theater. He said, I want to jump up and say, where does family fit into this? Where does family fit into this? I give you that as encouragement, mothers and fathers. I give you that as encouragement. The soft skills. Teaching your children how to get along, how to solve problems, helping them think through problems, helping them to be punctual and getting out of bed in the morning, and doing the hard tasks that they don't feel like doing, and nurturing them to grow up to be responsible adults that can move into society and resolve their differences between people and work through and communicate. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a calling for parenthood, not just motherhood. But mothers, you do have a lot of influence in that regard. Are you teaching your children the soft skills? Can they learn from you how to have some hard conversations, how to receive criticism and relate to that, how to disagree and respond to areas you disagree, maybe with your own husband? Can they see how to work through life and to work through things that aren't necessarily what they were expecting or got sprung upon them? Taught to love each other and get along in spite of life not being perfect and every scenario being a hoped-for outcome. Number four, a good mother will prioritize family, but not live in a family-only bubble. Good mothers have a nesting instinct, a God-given desire to provide for their families and to provide well and to be home. To be home, to be there when the children get home from school. I don't feel there should be a lot of times there's a note on the table and mother's not around. It's just part of what you arrange your life around. You want to bless your children by your presence. You want to provide well when it comes to food and clothing. I happen to live beside my grandparents, land joining, and so I would get down in Grandma's pantry quite a bit. And of course, I knew what my mother's pantry looked like. And as I observed both of their pantries, I believe we could have made it through one summer of famine and probably been okay. They were good mothers. They were thinking ahead. We did not have to worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow. Verse 21 says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. For her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. A good mother does the right thing at the right time, so her family is well clothed and fed. But a good mother, I believe, also looks beyond the needs of her household, reaches out to the less fortunate. I remember carrying a pie or some kind of goodies to my non-Mennonite neighbor. My mother wasn't just absorbed in the things of our family. She thought of the community, and that's a blessing. And I love it when I hear how you mothers are just helping each other when there's babies born, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have Christian community to help work together at this thing of motherhood, because it gets overwhelming at times. And I want to bless you too. I just heard recently, Brother Thomas said that it wasn't hard finding help for the park last year. And that was music to my ears. When we see ministries that we can maybe even take our children along and enter into it, that we do that as we can. She stretches forth her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Her family is her priority, but she finds ways that she can bless in ways that it doesn't hinder her work in the home. Number five, a good mother will offer empathy, boundaries, and candid advice simultaneously, and that is a high calling. Because before you're a mother, you're a wife. And the Bible calls that a helpmeet position. And it says here in Proverbs that you're to earn the trust as you meet the needs of your husband. He's supposed to safely trust in you. And sometimes we husbands need empathy. And sometimes we just need a candid, feminine perspective that didn't beat around the bush. We just need to know how it looks from your eyes and how our goals and aspirations might have some downsides to them. I'm not sure how many times I was about to do some well-intended mission in my mind, and my wife suddenly cautions, isn't that a little weird? Or what will, or what if? And some cautionary things that never entered my mind. She could have just left me blunder into it and everybody else would have started asking those questions, but I would much rather have my wife asking those questions. And that's a part of motherhood where you empathize, you try and wrap your mind around some wild dreams of a husband, some wild dreams of children, and you try and bring boundaries to it, because you can see they might self-destruct themselves if they keep going on the path they're talking about, at least. But a good wife doesn't control her husband, but she fills her God-expected role of being a helpmeet, as deemed necessary. Speak English that they understand. They're not, we husbands aren't good at reading minds. We count on you to speak English. Good mothers do the hard work in their home of balancing empathy and boundaries as they guide their children. Children are they're thinking something. They're gonna do something. And they need your understanding and encouragement to go for it, or they might need some restrictions put in their path because it won't be to their good. I looked up empathy. It said it's the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. And mothers are naturally better at this, I think, than most of us men. But mothers need to give needed guidance as well as empathy to a child's volatile emotions. I believe it's easy for a mother to fall into the empathy mode. They can feel it. They know it hurts. They know it's hard. They know their child is struggling. And some mothers can do so well at that they never get into the boundary setting and the saying no as necessary and the letting the child learn from cause and effect of their life choices. Sometimes a mother has to step back and let the child face some hard times. I just recently heard of one of my grandchildren was not allowed a bike for 2 days because they were given some instruction and they violated it. And they ratcheted it up, actually, and so they lost their bike for 2 days. And there's a lot of emotion that goes with that, but it's best for our children to learn the cause and consequences early in life before there's an employer or a husband or a wife trying to teach them the results of their personal life choices. In real life, if you don't take care of your body, there are repercussions. If you sleep in and skip breakfast, there may be some lightheaded moments or dizziness midday. Does that mean you need to be picked up at school right away? Does that mean you need to be run to the ER? I'm not advocating we ignore serious health concerns, but so many of our challenges can be brought on ourselves by poor habits, poor bedtime routine, poor eating, selective hearing, impulsive buying. And a good mother is one that is discerning and tries to feel her way of when to just let this play out and when to let the child learn something here or when she should step in and prevent the child from the pain that is around the corner, very likely. Being a good mom takes time and practice. By improving your communication skills, problem-solving skills, and boundary-setting skills, you can become a very effective mother and build a stronger relationship with your children than you had the day before or yesteryears, and help them to become strong adults emotionally. Number 6, a good mother will be okay with a bucket list. A good mother will be okay with a bucket list. A good mother puts a lot of personal dreams on hold to be a mother. It's just the way it rolls. I hear mothers sometimes talk about their wish list. Someday I would like to. After my children are a little older, I really hope I can. That's music to my ears, because that tells me there's a mother that has dreams that she's living in her heart for herself, but she's putting them on pause. There's a more important mission at the moment. Delayed dreams are a life vest for many children when mothers invest in them at the right time. And remember, being a good mother is not about being perfect. It is about doing your best. Doing your best and being available at the critical times in your child's development. Time for yourself, in the truest sense, can happen maybe down the road. Nurture your relationship with your children now. Listen to them. Answer their questions. And I know I forget, but it could be so tiring. I remember that. But if you don't listen when they're little, you're probably going to wonder why, as teenagers, are not just bearing their heart to you in the bigger things in life. It all starts by listening when they're small. One mother made this observation. She said, driver's tests should have a section where a child in the back seat just pummels you with rapid-fire questions while you are trying to merge. How true. That's part of life. We can get weary. But you know, the Switzerland tour can wait. Or whatever is on your dream list, that something big you wish to do, it can wait. But a child's needs can't wait, and they won't wait. Good mothers are okay with a bucket list. And they're okay if not everything gets checked off that's on the bucket list. It likely won't, but they'll be a good mother. Number 7, a good mother will get recognition. My last point, verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. So blessings to you, virtuous mothers, here this morning. Family life well done has rewarding times. Well-deserved rewarding times. But the woman that fears the Lord and is living for the will of her heavenly Father is going to have a reward that is out of this world. May God bless you, mothers. Shall we kneel for prayer?